Hi, this is Diane, and I am here with the Tuesday group at noon. It's October 13th, and on the phone we've got a handful of parents. And so because today is a new day for a few of the folks on the phone, some of you guys have been here before, I think, but I wanted to just kind of start with some housekeeping sorts of things, walk you through what we're going to do on this call today, and then have everybody do a quick check-in. So first of all, welcome, and thank you for being part of the Parent Success System. We're really excited to get these groups kind of kicked in motion. We've got 9 groups going right now, and it's just a really exciting thing, and excited that a lot of you made a commitment to yourself. I was just talking to Nancy a little bit about her adventure and her decision to join kind of at the last minute here, but we're glad that you're with us. And what we do each week on these calls, and typically the groups will meet every other week, we will publish the schedule for you in that Monday email that everybody should have gotten yesterday if you bought before yesterday. I'm still trying to figure out what those of you who bought after yesterday morning got, so we can make sure you get that Monday email as well. But that's really your roadmap. That every week you'll get one of those emails on Monday, usually in the morning, tells you what's going on this week, whether there's a call. There are actually two different types of calls that we do. There are these group calls that are the scheduled calls that you pick a group, you're part of that group on an ongoing basis. It's a small group that you're working with a coach. And then there's also what we have called the lifeline calls. And those are Q&A calls. And those are open for anybody in any of our programs, Parent Success System or any of our other programs. And it's really, we have no agenda. We come and we answer whatever questions anybody has about, you know, their own issues, whether it's logistics with the program or whether it's issues at home. And we just kind of answer the questions until we're done on those calls. And as a member of the Parent Success System, you have access to both of those calls. And also want to encourage you all to get out on that private Facebook group. And so I know we've gotten a lot of emails from folks saying, make sure to sign me up. And I think that our team, Candy is our team member who's on that sort of thing, and she may say, just be my friend on Facebook and then I'll add you to the group. That might be the easiest way to do that. And so if you know that you haven't gotten added yet, go ahead and send a friend request to the team at Impact ADHD, and they can add you to the group right away. So that's logistics. So in these calls, typically what we do is there's a handful of things. So we've got an hour together, and if you guys, let me just pause for a second. If you know you have background noise, because this is an interactive call, not just a training, I leave you guys on open phone. So if you know you have background noise, please go ahead and mute yourself. If you don't know how to do that, just tell me. It's noisy, Diane, where I am, and will you please mute me, because I can absolutely do that. But I do hear some noise in the background from one of you. I'm not sure who it is. But we start with a check-in, and we encourage that check-in to be a celebration. What have you been working on? How's it going? If you've got a particular challenge that has not been going well, you know, feel free to share that in. But you know, as you move forward week by week, you're going to have homework every week, and so it's our opportunity to say, how's it been going with your homework? And we ask you to share successes, because we know that success breeds success. And so we start there. And then the second thing we do is we ask everybody to take aim. And today, actually, we're going to talk about that concept of taking aim. So we're not going to do that at the very beginning this week. We're going to do it at a little bit of a different time. But it's really important when we're working on any of these calls to have one particular challenge area in mind. And you know, you may change your mind kind of partway through the call, but it's so easy to get caught up in the lots and lots of stuff that we have as challenges in our household that one of the things we always teach is taking aim so that we can focus more specifically on a week-by-week basis, because you're more able to take action if you're focused on one thing than if you're focused on the 20 things you could possibly focus in on. And then I'll teach by, you know, each week we'll have a little bit of a training. It's, you know, 5-minute, 10-minute training. I'll share some information, some strategies, some ideas. I'll invite conversation about what I'm sharing. You know, we'll talk a little bit about what gets in the way, what's easy, what's not. Have you tried it? Have you not? That sort of stuff. And then if we have time, we do some laser coaching so we can work with a few of you, or depending on the time, one to a few of you on a particular issue that's going on with you. And then we close the call with a wrap-up. And we have four questions that we ask at the end of every call. And we'll take a minute, and everybody will write down their answers, and then we'll do a formal checkout. And I'll check out with everybody and have you make a commitment, you know, share with me at least your aha and a commitment in terms of action. And that's the call. It takes an hour. We've got there's four of you on today. The groups are still growing. We're still adding folks. As Nancy knows, every day we're adding a few more folks. And so we do lock these groups down. This is one of our larger groups, but obviously not everybody can come every day. And so just know that I will facilitate so that, you know, everybody gets a chance to participate if at all possible. And we try to keep the groups, you know, in that, you know, 10, no more than 10 to 15 people in each group. So without any kind of logistical questions. Oh, the other thing is the workbook. I know that maybe Nancy, I don't know if it had information about the workbook in the email I forwarded you.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, did anybody not get access to the workbook?
I'm going to have to look into that because, yeah, I did. I had seen something about a workbook, but I didn't do any further research on it, so I guess I'll have to do that.
It would have been mentioned in the email that you got on Monday. Is that I'm recognizing voices. Was that Rebecca?
Yes.
Okay. Rebecca, there would have been something about it in the email on Monday. If you have any problem getting to it, just send a note to me, Diane, at Impact ADHD, or the team at Impact ADHD, and one of us will help you out getting you connected. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, any other logistical questions?
Nope.
Okay, cool. So it's lunchtime, and I know that some of you guys are eating. Feel free to eat. If you are chewing and you want to put me on mute, you can do that too, but feel free to... to do this, don't want anybody's blood sugar to drop if you're in my time zone and you need to eat. But okay, so I just let's jump in and do a quick check-in. So, who, as I mentioned, check-in could be celebration, it could be challenge. Because so many of you are new today, let's just kind of do a quick introduction: who you are, where you live, and what the ages are of your kids, if you have kids or one kid, and which one is the main reason you're here. And so I'll start and I'll say that I'm Diane and I happen to live in Atlanta, Georgia. I have two kids by birth and a stepson who's 30 as well. My daughter's 14 and my son is 16. My son has been officially diagnosed. He's inattentive type. My daughter is not been officially diagnosed, but she's got mild anxiety and probably hyperactive type. And it just doesn't get enough in her way that we've gone through a diagnostic process. But there are days that it does absolutely get in her way. And so a lot of the tools and the strategies that I use and I teach in this program, I also use with her. So who wants to check in next? And I see... a couple other people joined. I noticed somebody from Northeast Atlanta. It says somebody Hunt. Who is that?
Martha.
Hey, Martha. How are you?
I'm good.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. So I have one son, and he is 15. And over the course of the 15 years, yes, we've been through it all, trying any kind of diagnosis or any type of treatment or whatever we can do that might help him. And the programs that will work, then he will not stay with them. And he's pretty much, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Right.
So, and then currently it's just... his temperament and my temperament are so similar, we clash. So my husband is the mediator or referee. So he's
pretty much
been trying to take over the reins and work with my son. However, my husband works, as everyone, long hours that puts him home for minimal time, and so it kind of is... Yeah, my son gets away with a lot. So.
Well, and so you're probably in good company, and it sounds like your focus up till now has been on programs for him. It'll be interesting to see kind of how you handle this spin, Martha, because our focus is really going to be on what you're going to do rather than necessarily mm-hmm. what he's going to do, but it's going to be an interesting combination. So glad you're in the group. This is the first time you've been in here, right?
That's correct.
Okay, great. Thanks for checking in. All right, so who wants to check in next?
I'll go. I'm Nancy, and I am from Chicago but live in Naples, Florida. I have two kids, a nine-year-old, two boys, which is why I have all my gray hair. One is 9 years old, fourth grade, and he's neurotypical. And my 12-year-old, who just started sixth grade, has ADHD with an auditory processing disorder. He was diagnosed at six and then again at eight and started medication when he was nine. I've done a lot of support groups and been involved in CHAD, but, you know, I'm kind of like the shoemaker's shoes at this point. I can give a lot of advice, and I have a lot of great tools in my toolbox, but when I'm working full-time and managing a household and managing all this stuff, I am a yeller by nature, and that is kind of what our house has become in the last 2 months. I've kind of reverted back to my what I call my bad mommy moments. And it doesn't help that I'm very type A. So my ADHD son and I are very opposite. Because I'm, you know, it's not a logical disorder, right? So I want to just fill my bucket to back up with good parenting tips and tools so I can get a handle on it and have calm in our household again.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, and I think that the kind of two things, one is, you know, that it's pretty normal when we don't know what to do and we get frustrated that we end up in that triggered mode. And so you're definitely in good company. And then the other piece of this is that, you know, I think you realize that it's not always just about the what to do. And we've all read most of us have read lots of books or read lots of articles about the things to do. And it's really about how to make it happen for you and for your family. And that's really what we're going to focus in on. Is every week, what are we going to do? What are we going to focus in on? What are we paying attention to? What are we taking aim on? And, you know, getting really specific on that. So glad to have you with us, Nancy.
Thank you.
Cool. All right, who's next?
Rebecca. I live in Sussex, Wisconsin, and I have a 14-year-old son named Michael. I am going to say that the Impact HD, your website, I love it. I mean, you, when I first started with you, and I think I've only been with you for maybe a month, I read all the articles and little tidbits that you had, and they've been extremely helpful. I have noticed that I'm more self-aware on how I react when he's, you know, overreacting or whatever it is he's doing. Unfortunately, today didn't go so well. I had his cup of rinse because he has braces on the counter, and he's, you know, I guess with all ADHD kids, they don't really think before they do things, so he threw it, and it hit the cup, and everything went all over, and I went nuts, and I'm like, oh, dear, I just lost control. I was doing so well, and I just lost it. So today wasn't a good morning, but I knew that this is the first time I have called in, so I knew that today I needed to definitely make time to call in because I had was doing so well and now I just lost control.
Well, and again, I mean, I don't know that we've all done it, but I know that I do it still, and I've been working on this for many years. So, you know, it's a pretty normal response, and part of it is about doing what you can to prevent it, and then part of it is about recovering really well when you do it. And so you know, maybe today we're going to talk about taking aim, but it might be that what you take aim on is what do you want to do when your son gets home this afternoon to recover from the fact that you lost it this morning? How do you want to fail forward, or what do you want to learn from it as a family? So thanks for sharing. Rebecca, we're glad to have you in the group.
Thank you.
Who else?
This is Cindy. Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I live in Arlington, Virginia. I have a 14-year-old daughter who has ADHD, and I have a 19-year-old stepdaughter who currently is not at our home. And I feel like I'm right now in a good space. I took your quiz on your website about what kind of mom are you, and I was totally the overwhelmed mom for most of the years of my daughter's childhood, just kind of trying to figure out how to cope with the complex child that she is. This year, she's getting up for school, she's walking to school with friends, she's getting her work done mostly. That's sort of where our attention is focused now, to try and get her to make sure that she gets work done and that she lets us know if things are getting undone before we see it on the school website and things like that. But given what has transpired in the past, there's not as much yelling in the house, which there has been a lot of. And I found I forget which class I took last year, but I found it very helpful and decided to work some more on my own behavior with this class. And then I sort of took the summer off because I so enjoyed that there was no school and there was a lot less pressure in the home. But now I'm feeling like I do want to check back in and continue to see what skills I can learn.
Well, Cindy, let me just congratulate you, and hopefully you took a minute and celebrate this. But, you know, it's you took the class. You did a lot of work to try to figure out how to stay more calm in those situations, and you're noticing that, you know, you're not losing your cool as much as you used to, and there's not as much yelling in the house. And I know that was one of the things that was really an important goal for you. So congratulations for doing that work.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, so I think we've got Margo left, and you've got yourself muted. I don't know if it's because you got stuff in the background. Do you want me to unmute you? Or you can unmute you? Margo, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can. Great. So okay. Why don't you go ahead and check in?
First, let me ask, how do I unmute?
You know,
she is on mute. We can hear her.
Yeah, we can hear you now. So you put *6 to mute, and then you can hit *6 to unmute. I think it works both ways.
Wonderful. Thank you. Because I didn't know how to undo it. I am brand new. Have a 15-year-old son who is not diagnosed but just has all the characteristics. I have been diagnosed, and it's distractible. What I talked about last week was the getting up in the morning and getting to school on time, so cutting down on the tardies. So we've tried to talk through, you know, what the sleep cycle is and the process of getting up, what it involves, and, you know, breaking it down into the different steps and figure out what we can do differently.
How has it been going so far, Margo?
Well, in the last week, it's probably 50-50. But I guess I feel like there are some good options for improvement. I feel like a lot of it hinges on the night before. And at this point, I'm not sure that he's bought into that.
Yeah, and it's hard because you've got it. He's at the age where you need his buy-in, and it also sounds like he's willing to try some stuff. So, you know, it may be that you just can get his buy-in by dancing around and trying a bunch of different things and figuring out which one might work. And 50-50 sounds like progress from where you were last week. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Awesome. Good. Okay. So did I get everybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Great. Okay. Cool. So what we're going to talk today about, normally at this point we would go back around and say, okay, everybody, I want you to take AIM. But before we do that, I'm going to do our teaching. So it's a little bit out of order because what we're actually talking about today is taking aim and the importance of taking aim. And so, you know, this whole concept of taking aim is important for a couple of reasons. Number one, because it helps us to really narrow in. If you're like most parents, there's, you know, we talk about the main six challenge areas, but in each one of those challenge areas, there's probably, a 70, 80, whatever, different sub-challenges that you're dealing with. So you've got the macro level and you've got the micro level and you've got all these different pieces. And what taking aim allows you to do is to get really specific so that you can plan action, so that you can take action, so that you can see and move things forward. Because what happens is that we've got so many challenges and we're trying to tackle them all. And during the webinar we did a couple weeks ago, we were talking about, I still remember this story about Elaine's original rewards chart that she created for her oldest daughter and how it was, 2 points for this and 1 point for that, and you lose points if you do this. And it's, she documented like everything she wanted her daughter to do during the day. And it was really overwhelming. It was overwhelming for her. It was overwhelming for her daughter. Nobody knew what was going on. And it makes it very, very difficult to move things forward because it can be overwhelming. Now, that's true whether you're an ADHD adult, like I know a few of you on the phone are, one of you mentioned it, or not. I think that and for our kids particularly, it's like, wait a second, I don't know what I'm getting points from, what I'm not getting points from. And so the idea of taking aim, it's important to manage overwhelm and to help focus in. The other aspect of taking aim is that it's really important to focus on a problem rather than on a solution. And so a lot of times we'll go, so we've all got middle school, high school age kids. I have a lot of parents who want to take aim on getting their child to use a planner because planner seems like a very reasonable solution for our kids. Well, the planner is a great solution for some people, but we don't want to take aim on the planner because the planner isn't the problem. The problem is our child needs a method for capturing their assignments. And there's lots of different ways our kids could solve their assignments capture their assignments. So we don't want to take aim on a solution. We want to take aim on a problem. Another example, last night, somebody wanted to take aim on helping their child to make a couple of new friends. And what we really kind of dug in and looked at what was really going on and making friends is a solution. Because what we found in kind of digging in is that her child has a very difficult time with empathy and communicating with kind words. And so the problem was the communicating with kind words and the empathy, not the friend. So those are just two examples, but I want to take you through a process. And so I'm going to spend some time with each one of you taking aim on maybe it's one of the challenges you already mentioned. But before I do that, what general questions or comments do you have about this idea of taking aim? Has anybody tried it yet?
No.
Not specifically.
Yes. Elaine talked me through a little bit of that last week with the sleep.
And what did you notice when you started taking aim, Nancy?
Oh, no, that wasn't Nancy.
It's Margo. I apologize. You guys are going to have to say, you guys are going to have to remind me for at least a little while to say your name before you answer, if you don't mind.
Okay. This is Margo. And just the inconsistency that we have in approaching bed.
You're having inconsistency. So how does taking aim help you with inconsistency?
Well, number one, it helps with the awareness of the inconsistency. And then to be able to think through what seemed to work better than others and try to do that more consistently.
Awesome. Awesome. Great. Anybody else, what are your thoughts on this idea of taking aim?
This is Nancy. I think it's a great idea only because I am one of those people that want to address everything all at once. Mm-hmm. And I was the chart person like Elaine was. I had points for everything. There were 10 criteria. I mean, it was ridiculous. So, and I do feel like, well, it's all a problem. It all needs to be addressed immediately. And I think taking aim on one thing and focusing on one problem at a time, that I definitely need help with that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it may be, and I think that, you know, those type A-ers of us in the crowd, and I count myself as one of them, you know, is we do want to take aim and we want to focus in. It doesn't mean we ignore everything else or that we let everything else go, although I would encourage you guys to consider letting some things go as you're taking aim, but really to put your attention, your focus in that area. And the example I would give is when we first did House Rules, and there's a blog that I wrote on this. It's like, we have like 29 house rules, which is just a crazy amount of rules. But everybody's like, no, we got to have this rule, we got to have that rule. This is, you know, that sort of thing. And what we did was we just picked one and we said, okay, we're going to focus in on this one house rule and try to get to a point where everybody is, you know, complying as much as possible. And it didn't mean the rest of the rules went away. It just meant that, you know, you can't, as you were just saying this, Nancy, it's like you can do everything, but you just can't do it all at once. So, cool. Go ahead.
This is Martha. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of the baby steps, that just calm down and it helps with the overwhelming and the stress that you're focusing on this one thing, and then you can have more rewards and successes instead of looking at the big picture where, yeah, you had a success, but you lost it in the big picture.
Hmm. Yeah, no, and that's a really common thing to happen, is that if you're adding points for this and taking away from that, you know, our kids are never going to be 100%. I mean, it's very rare that your kids will have a day where they just start firing on all cylinders and they do exactly what you want them to do when you want them to do it. And so if you focus on what's working, it's really very motivating. If they do well on one thing and then they have something else that doesn't work and we end up paying attention to the thing that doesn't work, guess what happens? We get, it drags us down, it drags them down. So it definitely, the baby steps and the focusing on the positive is a great way to handle it. Thanks, Margo. Cool. All right, so I want to walk you all back through taking aim on one particular area. So we're going to get really specific. So you might want to start with one of the challenge areas, whether it's school or mornings or relationships or whatever, but then you want to drill in, and we're going to focus on not the solution but the problem and get as specific as possible. So who wants to volunteer first, and I'll help you take aim specifically?
Well, this is Cindy.
Go ahead, Cindy.
Oh, you want me to go ahead? I have one that is pretty narrowly defined. We have a cat. We got the cat so that my daughter would have an affectionate pet. I did a lot of work to find an affectionate cat. I give myself a pat on the back that we were successful. But I want the daughter to brush the cat every day, and she's responsible to clean out the litter box. Over the summer, she did pretty good with these things and some other house chores, but now that school has started, none of that. She says she brushes the cat, but I see no evidence that that is really happening. And she always says, oh, I did it when you weren't home. So I'm not sure. I think what happens is she takes the brush through the cat's fur two or three times and says, okay, I'm done, which isn't really what I'm after. I'm after, over the summer, she would take it out on the back porch and just, the cat loves to be brushed, and just brush and brush till you get a brush full of fur, which I prefer the fur in the brush to in the house.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. So, well, that does feel very specific. You want to increase her responsibility for the cat by brushing the cat on a regular basis. And so,
emptying the litter box. Can I include that one too?
Well, I guess the question is it something she's, it feels like there's two different things. If you had to choose one or the other to start with, where would you start?
Brushing.
Okay. Because part of what you're trying to do is to get her into a routine. You mentioned already the you know, she tells you that she brushed the cat and you're not really sure whether she kind of brushed the cat or she doesn't remember if she brushed the cat and she doesn't want to tell you she didn't or what's really going on. And so the next step kind of once we take aim for all of you guys is to get curious and really pay attention. So if your daughter's having a hard time brushing the cat, you know, what are some of the things that are, you know, are going on for her? Is it hard for her to remember? Is it, does she not have a regular routine yet? Is it something she doesn't motivated to do, she's not interested in doing? But that's kind of the next step once you've gotten really specific with that brushing the cat, Cindy. Thank you. Okay.
Did you ask me a question?
I did not. I just,
okay.
So the next step would be to get curious. And so we'll loop back if we've got time and I'll ask you a couple questions about what you think is going on. But I think just think to yourself about what might be going on for her that's making it hard for her to do it already.
Okay.
Cool. Who else?
This is Nancy. And I don't know if I'll be specific enough or not, but the sixth grade changing of classes, and my son's in all advanced classes, and we're actually having a parent-teacher-student conference on Thursday because they're saying he's capable of being in all these advanced classes, but he's not putting forth his best effort. Mm-hmm. So, and one of the challenges is, you know, the missing assignments and the, the most famous, oh, I forgot excuse. And so I'd really like to take aim on, I'm not sure if it's taking aim on helping him coming up with tools so that I forgot isn't happening anymore, or I'm not sure, but it's very stressful for me because I don't want to be a helicopter parent, but I also am concerned that he's failing because he doesn't know exactly how to manage having seven different teachers in seven different classes.
Yeah, no, and he's at that age where it starts getting really complex. So, and it was interesting. We talked to a group of teachers a couple weeks ago, and they were saying that when you look at, there's kind of two parts to success at school. There's intellect, which so many of our kids are just brilliant, gifted kids. Mm. And then there's executive function, which is the stuff it takes to kind of do school, staying organized and getting the work done and following through and all those other things that are executive function focused. And when we talk to these teachers, we ask them, what percentage of success at school has to do with intellect and what percentage has to do with executive function? And all of them said more than 50% executive function, and some of them said as much as 80% was executive function. And so if you look at our kids who are 3 to 5 years behind their peers in terms of their executive function, you get into sixth or seventh grade, and they're really not ready to handle the complexity of getting all the work done. And when you talk specifically about homework, you know, I don't know if you've read any of our articles, Nancy, about the steps of homework, but there's like 12 steps that kind of go into homework from, you know, knowing that the teacher's even giving an assignment to, you know, through the process, get it done, capture it, bring the materials home, all those things that you have to do to make it happen. And then at the end, actually handing it in to the teacher for a grade on time even, or if not even on time. But so when you're looking at something like this, which is the challenge he's having getting assignments in, do you want to focus in on him not just saying, I forgot, and really acknowledging and looking at where is the process breaking down for him, or do you want to focus in on one of the parts of the process?
Yeah, I don't know. I would say probably where the process is breaking down, because I want it to be a collaborative effort of coming up with a solution that's going to work for him. Because I can tell him, you know, you brought up the planner. I can tell him what works for me, but I can also tell you, I showed him what works for me in terms of organizing his classes and everything, and now they go to school with a big binder. They don't carry backpacks. So it's a 4-inch binder, zippers closed, each class is in there. And so I helped him organize it. Well, now he opened it up and, you know, there's 50 sheets of paper that fall out. But he knows where everything is. And that, I'm like, I can't even look at that. That would just, it makes me crazy. So there's somewhere, I want him to come up with a solution with my maybe guidance or suggestions. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know how much to empower him and not get involved. I'm just...
Well, so here's the... Yeah, no, I think that's a great comment. And so what it sounds like you're taking aim on is really understanding what's getting in his... What's really getting in his way in terms of organizing and coming up with a few, you know, a few things that he could do differently.
Yes.
So I think that, you know, number one, I would say it's about making sure you have appropriate expectations. I mean, he's only... Did you say he's 11? Is that right?
He's 12. He just turned 12
He's
in 12. September.
Sorry, just turned 12. That's right. So if, you know, if we subtract 3 to 5 years, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, he, in some areas of executive function, he may be limited as much as more like a 7-year-old. And so, you know, his ability to capture the assignments and follow through with the assignments and those sorts of things may be very, it may not be realistic for him to do it on his own. And you also want to get buy-in because he's in the middle school age, and this is the best time to get them to participate and get involved, because once they get into high school, they don't want to collaborate with you. They want to tell you what to do, and they may not know. And so if at middle school you can create this partnership where it's like, it's your idea, but I'm going to help you, it's very different than, you know, parents who come to me and it's like through middle school they've been directing their child and telling them what to do, and they get to high school and the kid's like, Mom, stop telling me what to do, and they have to go back and try to forge this partnership, which didn't exist. And so, you know, those of you who have kids still that are, you know, 15 and younger, I think most everybody said that they were at least 15 or younger, focus on that partnership and getting buy-in and finding ways to make it their idea. But as you go, Nancy, as you go into having conversations with his teachers in the gifted program, I would encourage you to have conversations with them about the difference between intellect and executive function and see what supports they can provide to help make sure that he is capturing assignments and those sorts of things, and help them to understand that it's not that he doesn't want to do them or that he can't do them. It's literally that he does not have the organizational skills at his stage of development.
Okay.
And the other thing I would tell you is that my 16-year-old, I go through his backpack with him once a week too, because he just – It's too overwhelming. There's just too much
right.
to it. So,
this is Martha, and I have a testimony on that. If we have time,
yeah, quick, yes, bottom line.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, my son had always struggled, but yeah, that sixth grade is where it started and it fell apart, and so we have been, you know, kind of behind the eight ball ever since sixth grade, and it's just kind of been a roller coaster, and now it's not necessarily positive. But, yeah, I was so proud of myself. I thought, well, what he needs, because I think I was definitely more in school in executive function and had no intellect, but was making it because I could get it organized. But I got every subject, and every subject he picked which color he would want to be, you know, or, you know, so a folder and a binder, and it all color coordinated, and it was all in there, and a composition book and whatever was all color coordinated, and it just looked like a breeze to me. And yeah, nope, just thrown in there as I think most kids, and especially I think boys, are prone to do in the first place. But his was not one that he could, you know, if he could figure it out, you know, kind of like my husband has a messy desk, but he knows exactly where what he wants, where it is. So, but yeah, I would just wish that time machine could go back to sixth grade. And that's where, yes, he was in completely gifted program through elementary school, and he started middle school. And in their particular case, he was overwhelmed to the point where they had to pull him from gifted and put him in special ed. For seventh grade, he went through special ed, which was completely the wrong spectrum because he was so smart. So, you know, I just wish you luck, Nancy, and keep going.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Margo. So do you want to go ahead, Margo, and take aim?
Oh, Margo.
Yeah, I guess I...
Oh, I'm sorry. That was I'm mixing up Martha and Margot. So go ahead, Margot. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I feel like I've already started this and you know, just want to kind of refine it a little bit more to this next week. So I'll let somebody else have time.
Okay, well, what is it that you... when you think about what are you at a level where you're thinking about the bigger challenge area, and how can I help you to kind of dig in a little bit?
Well, we started with the sleep and getting to school on time.
Okay.
And then, you know, kind of he hasn't had any consequences for not being there on time, but. Just this week, I got an email from the school that says, you know, he's hit the limit, and next time he's late, he'll have detention. So that's going to kind of wake him up a little bit. But just, you know, for him to see the connection, I guess, between his choices the night before and the impact on his behavior and how much more difficult it can be for him to follow through in the morning appropriately when he hasn't made the good choices the night before.
Well, and so it's hard because in your mind you logically think, well, if he'd get to bed a little bit earlier, he wouldn't have his hard time getting up in the morning. And that may be true. But what I'm going to challenge you to do is to focus on the problem rather than the solution.
Because I think the child knows the same thing. If you know, they need to go to sleep so they can get up, but it's the problem that making that happen is difficult somewhere for them.
Right, that makes sense. So what, because the reality is if he got only 3 hours of sleep and he got to school on time, the problem would shift. Does that make sense, Margot?
Yes.
So... I think you said that he has not decided that getting to bed earlier is what needs to happen in order for him to get up in the morning. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
At least not to do it consistently.
Yeah, at least not consistently. So what is his, so I'm going to challenge you to take aim on getting out of bed on time that makes him most prone to being late? Is it getting up late? Is it taking too much time eating breakfast? Is it showering? What is the thing that you notice that gets in the way in the morning?
He's getting up late.
He's getting up late. Okay, so what do you think about taking aim on getting up? Is there a particular time you know that he needs to get up in order to hit a time? You know, it's like we know that if he gets up at this time, he always only takes 30 minutes, so he has, you know, or do you need to even figure out how much time he does need in the morning?
No, I think that we know, you know, 7:30 is like the latest he can get up and still get everything accomplished.
Okay, great. So you're taking aim on finding a way to get him up by 7:30. Now, I guess I'm going to go back and say, is that a solution or a problem? Because the reality is that if he could get up at 7:54 and get downstairs in 6 minutes to get out the door at 8, would that solve the problem?
Well, he can do that if he doesn't shower and brush his teeth when he eats breakfast. But, you know, so I guess I don't know. What's the bottom line problem?
Because I think
is.
This is the thing. Yeah, right, because this is the thing is, like, you know, well, if he could take a shower the night before, he could get, you know, he would have one less thing to do in the morning, or if he laid his clothes off the night. I mean, there's all these different moving pieces, but what you really want is for him to get out the door on time. So when you talk to him about what he thinks is the challenge, he's 15, right, Margo?
Yes.
When you talk to him about what he sees as the challenge, getting up in the morning, what are his ideas?
He's tired. you know, it's he wakes up a lot like I do, which is kind of a long process. mm-hmm. you know, a slow rise to consciousness. And so, you know, we've tried multiple alarms, and, you know, that helps, but it doesn't make it smooth. I guess,
right.
you know, I'm looking for smooth.
Well, of course, and again, there's so many moving pieces here, and what you really want to do is, you know, you're taking aim on getting him out the door, but the reality is that there's, even that is several pieces, you know, so mm-hmm. So do you want to take aim on getting him out of bed by 7:30? Do you want to take aim on getting out the door at 8, which feels more like a place to start?
I guess
and I made
I
up the time. I made up the
yeah.
time, so don't
yeah.
get hung up on that.
But that's accurate. I would choose 7:30 to get up.
Okay. So then what you just did very eloquently is to really kind of got curious, and that's that second step is to educate. What do you think's going on? What's hard for him? He's tired. And then the thing that I would ask is, you know, what's his motivation for getting out of bed?
there's not much, I guess.
Well,
yeah,
I think that's probably what you're feeling, right? Is that
yeah.
there's no motivation, and so that it's a great opportunity to partner with him to help him to understand that the role of the motivation that plays in his with his brain, and help him to come up with, well, what's the motivator? You know, does he earn something by getting downstairs by seven? Or, you know, getting out of bed by 7:30? Does he? You know, is there some kind of bonus he can get? I've got some parents who, like, if their kids are on time, they'll take them to Dunkin' Donuts on the way to school. Or I've got other parents who say, you know, you earn a half an hour screen time by being at the breakfast table on time. You know, so there's lots of places you can go from there. But what you mm-hmm. want to do is start by taking aim on what does he need to do to get out of bed on time? Rather than jumping into the solution of, well, if he'd go to bed earlier and he'd take a shower at night. But you really want to start by kind of really partnering with him to look at, you know, what are some things that we could try that might help you to get out of bed by 7:30? Does that resonate?
Okay. Yes.
Okay,
thank
great.
You.
Okay, so let's see who I've got left. Do we have anybody else that joined us late?
No, Rebecca, I haven't.
Okay, Rebecca, go ahead and take aim. Go for it.
Okay, my whole issue with him is just time, just being aware of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, like, I give him so much time. Oh, he needs to get off the Xbox at 6 o'clock. You know, he needs to be out the door at, 6:43 to make sure that he gets the bus. You know, that to make sure that, you know, he needs to take his medicine at this time. I mean, he just has no self-awareness of time.
Okay. So when you get curious, what do you think is a realistic expectation for where he is right now? I mean, is he aware sometimes? Is he aware never? What do you notice?
Yeah, I would say sometimes. I mean, he knows what the time is. Is it? I mean, I guess I get it. I get it with the Xbox because obviously he's having a good time. He's so into it that he doesn't notice the time. But you know, the time is the time, and it does help if I say, if you don't get off on time, then when you're done with your homework and you have a small amount of time to play, you're going for every minute that you're late, that's the minutes that I'm taking off. So that does help.
So then let's go back and take aim. If he doesn't understand time, what problem is that creating for him and for you?
I guess it's just making us behind on everything because we're always rushing because he's not being self-aware of what time it is, and I'm constantly having to tell him, you have to do this at this time.
Okay, and is there a particular time of day that it's a real challenge? Is it like getting out the
probably,
door in the morning? Or
Yeah, probably in the morning that it's, you know, he's just rushing to get out the door. I mean, thank goodness so far he has not missed the bus, which I told him that's going to be a whole other issue, because that's the very first time that you miss the bus, then we're going to have to come up with something else, because that cannot be happening.
So it sounds like where you want to take aim on is awareness of time in the mornings so that you can get out of the door on time.
Yes.
Okay, great. So again, like I said to some of the other folks, the next step is to get really curious and notice what are the things that are hard for him, and when is it, you know, when is it easy? What is he, when does he respond? When doesn't he respond? And for all of us, the other piece of this is to make sure that we're paying attention to what a realistic expectation is. I know that with time management, a lot of our kids don't develop the ability to be aware of time until they're a little bit older. And mm-hmm. so, you know, having alarms or having a time timer or having you be the alarm clock. I know that at our house, I chime the 5 minute mark. So, so for about 20 minutes there, when we're getting ready to run out the door, every 5 minutes I'll say it's 7 o'clock, it's 7:05, it's 7:10, because they're so busy doing their stuff and keeping the time moving, their stuff moving forward, they don't have a chance to even stop and look at their watches and know what time it is. So
okay, so I guess I get that, because I guess I do that. I guess I was just hoping to get out of that, because I do have a I do wake him up in the morning, because we did try the two alarm clocks and that did nothing. So I do wake him up, and that's fine. I actually knock on the door when it's time for him to get out of the shower, and then I do actually have a schedule on a piece of paper that's at the breakfast table that it says the time that he should be doing this, the time that he should be doing that. And, you know, for, I guess, the most part, he does pretty good, except when, you know, it's like almost like 10 minutes before to walk out the door, then that's when it gets a little crazier.
So, Rebecca, what's his buy-in for the schedule and the things you've been doing so far?
Oh, for him to do those well, because if he doesn't do them, then that means he has to go to bed the night before earlier.
Okay. So he is bought in at this point? He is
mm-hmm.
complying most of the time?
I will be consistent if he doesn't do it, then now you have to go to bed 15 minutes earlier because we had, you know, issues in the morning. So, you know, he'll get off track, but, you know, when I say, okay, it's too late, you didn't follow through like you said you were going to, so now you have to go 15 minutes, you know, 15 minutes earlier to bed, so the next day then it goes smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Now that makes sense. And so for all of you guys, and especially Rebecca, as we're talking about this, it's like when you want your child to be more independent, it's important to do it in the context of what a reasonable expectation is. And so if they're completely unable to do it themselves right now, it's a big step from where they are to where you want them to be. So what you're looking for is a little bit more independence. And so if right now he's compliant with your inserted scaffolding is the word we use, so it's like, you know, you're giving him the list and you're giving him the process and you're reminding him in the shower, that my challenge to you is for as you move to strategy from, you know, taking aim on this time frame is, you know, what would a little bit more independent be for him? Where is one place where he might be able to be more independent? Maybe he comes up with the list, or maybe he, you know, is responsible for setting the alarm, even if you're the one that comes and wakes him up, or, you know, something like that where you're involving him a little bit more and mm-hmm. continuing like you've done to get his buy-in into the process. Does that make sense?
Excuse me.
Yes.
This is Martha, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure if it's if he's already past this or if it might be helpful, but I would suggest that my son responds well with a timer. He has a timer that he sets himself, especially because he was taking really, 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 really long showers. So it would, of course, relax him, and wouldn't we all just love to sit in the shower and have water run over us for 30, 40 minutes? But he would set a time on there, and therefore I didn't have to keep knocking on the door. I didn't have to bother him. I didn't have to, like, jar him back into reality when he was relaxing, because it was just his own timer. And that was a suggestion that we moved. Plus, also with homework or the amount of time he has before the next thing's supposed to happen, he could just put his timer on for 2 minutes or 5 minutes and let that triggering.
Yeah, yeah, we did try the timer, you know, for him to set a timer on his phone. The problem with that is that he would just shut it off and continue to do what he's doing.
Right, but it made him conscious that he had made that decision, because my son will do that, but then he's aware where his mistake was.
Well, and so I think that that's the piece of it is, you know, paying attention and noticing what are they doing consciously? What are they doing? Because my kids turn off alarms and they don't even realize they've turned it off, you know, and so it's just about noticing. You know, so it's okay. So I want to go back. Rebecca, are you clear on where you're taking aim?
I think to just maybe let him try to get more involved with the schedule. Maybe he needs more time, so maybe he needs to get up a little bit earlier. I mean, for the most part, for the first half hour, he drags a little bit, but then all of a sudden, you know, like 15 minutes before it's time to head out the door, that hyperness has kicked in, so he's wide awake and ready to roll. So maybe if I could let him do the schedule, then maybe that would help.
Okay. Great. All right, Martha, you're. I want to give you a chance to take aim here as well. So we're getting close to time here. So I want to loop back because I don't think you've done it yet. Have you?
No, I haven't, because I'm still in the big pictures. still trying to get down to that narrow little how to take aim.
So where are you at right now?
Stress to the max, and then it's a matter of having to just let go, and a lot of prayer, but. He is supposed to be taking – he's all the way at where we're at homeschooling with a cyber school, which is absolutely a godsend and wonderful program because of relieving that anxiety and that stress that he can then focus on the intellectual and work other ways with social. But it's like a gift he's been given, and again, he just doesn't want to drink. He doesn't – take it seriously, and so that's where my husband's trying to work with him because I'm more the yeller and trying to understand
Okay, so Martha, do you understand at this point the challenge of taking the opportunity of taking aim?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
So
teaching me is what we need now.
Okay, so let me give you some homework, okay?
Okay.
So today is Tuesday. It's 1 o'clock Eastern time. So by Wednesday night, what do you think of locking in on one thing that you can take aim on for the next 5 days? Because we're going to get together again as a group next week at the same time. Does that feel like a reasonable challenge for you?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Great. All right, so I want to wrap us up, and I'm conscious of time. If folks need to fall off, I completely understand. But at the end of each call, there's 4 questions, and they're in your workbook, and so you'll see them there. So take a minute either now or take a minute as you go back into your day and answer these 4 questions. What did you focus on the most? What did you pay attention to? What became clear, meaning like what was your aha that you had? What's a reasonable action step for you to take? And what do you need to do to set yourself up for success? So if you can stay on just a minute more, I would love to hear from all of you kind of one aha and one commitment in terms of action.
Now, I have a question on where do you get the workbook?
So if you can stay on afterwards, I'll make sure that you get the email. We'll go back and look through emails and make sure we get you one, okay? Was that Martha? Is that Martha?
Yeah, that's Martha. Uh-huh.
Okay, great. All right. Would love to hear a checkout from anybody, either an aha and an action commitment, or both.
Well, this is Cindy, and I guess my takeaway is to work with my daughter on her developing when in her daily routine she's going to brush the cat. And for me, to clarify my expectations about what I mean by brush the cats.
Great. Okay. And what was the aha you had, Cindy?
Well, I haven't had that conversation with her. So every time I ask her about it, I think she kind of feels defensive because I think I define it one way and she defines it another.
Great. Great. Okay. Who else?
And I need to go. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.
So this is Nancy. I think I'm going to try to have a conversation with Griffin to help understand, try to understand what's getting in his way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, you'd mentioned maybe the expectations too high. Just kind of digging a little deeper, trying to figure it out and not just come up with solutions that work for me. I think sometimes,
okay,
just like the lady, the cat lady, I end up giving the answer before I give him time to come up with it on his own, and it becomes very combative and accusatory. And that's my aha moment, is that, you know, I don't necessarily always respect that he has his own thoughts and his own opinions. I just kind of sometimes badger him into a solution. So I think it's the aha moment for me is to take a step back and really listen to what he has to say. And, you know, maybe that aha moment will come between the two of us of how to solve it together.
Great. Great. Love that. Okay. Rebecca?
Yes, I guess my aha moment, it seems that I guess I just expected that some time soon here that he would know the concept of time, and I guess I'm understanding that people with ADHD or even maybe just the kids, that they really don't have a concept of time. I mean, I guess that's
what
I'm
feeling. Their concept is now and not now, is what
okay,
I've heard.
So, I just figured that eventually, I guess as he was getting older, that it would just eventually happen. But I guess what I'm now understanding is that that's not going to happen. So I just need to just know that and just deal with it. And then I guess just to my action is for him to let him be more involved with getting himself, you know, ready for school in the morning. And maybe if he feels like he has a say, then maybe this can go smoother in the morning.
Okay. Great. Great. Okay. So let's see. Who have we got? Margo or Martha?
I think Martha's a... I need to just explore more ways that I'm letting him have the freedom and the ability to come up with the answers and not just giving them to him the way I think it should be.
Great.
This is Margo, and I think the motivation is the key, my aha today.
Well, and I think that gives you a lot of opportunity because you can create – you can work with him to figure out what's going to motivate him.
Right.
And I still remember the my son, the semester he decided that he wanted to ride the bus every day. He was up without fail because he decided he wanted to ride the bus. And I was like, good, great, go. I don't care. You know, but the minute he decided, yeah, I don't want to take the bus anymore, he got bored taking the bus. And so then, you know, he's back to having the challenge getting up again. So you've got to have a motivation.
Sure.
Yep. Yeah. Great. All right. So any last questions before we sign off? Thank you all for making this commitment of an hour to today.
Thank you.
It's an hour and 15.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
and we
you.
Are meeting next week, same time, same place.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Bye.
Sam.
Thank you.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.